Father God, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come to you, Lord, with even our problems, the way that we are, Lord. And we know that you meet us right where we are. And Lord, as we look back to 2019, Lord, we just want to say thank you. We want to share what you've done in our lives, in our families, in our ministry, Lord, and we know that we need you in everything that we do. So, Lord, I pray for Scott, Charles, and myself that we'll be sharing this morning. Lord, I pray that you would be honored in what we say. And again, Lord, just thank you for what you've done in 2019 and what you will do in 2020 and the next year and the following year, Lord. So we just trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So it's a little different to be standing here instead of over there, but so I know many of you. I've been coming to this church for literally over 30 years. You know, Dennis was saying the building's about 30 years old. I think this building was built a year, maybe 2 years before we started coming here. So my kids have grown up in this church, been here a long time, and you'll see where I'm going with this as I share more, but I was reflecting over the break. This could probably not be a worse time for me to give a sharing like this. Like, you know, you expect this to be, God is amazing, and what an incredible year it's been, and my life is so great. That would be so dishonest. So I'm going to be honest with you this morning. God is amazing. This year has been a year of, I put down changes and challenges for me and my family. Some big changes, and these are not bad things. In fact, some of these are wonderful things. But this is the first time in probably over 20 years that I haven't been a part of the church leadership. And I just say that to be, it's a weird thing. Well, it's not weird anymore. It's great. I am enjoying it. But it's different. It's different to be here on a Sunday morning and to not know a lot of stuff that's going on. So like Dennis, I really appreciated what you shared, you know, because it's cool to hear the vision for the year. And people still come up to me, hey, what are we doing? I'm like, I don't know. Sorry, you're going to have to talk to one of the other guys. But I want to say thank you to David and Dennis and Rick, wherever Rick is. There's Rick back in the window. And, of course, to Pastor John. You guys are doing a good job, so thank you. But that's a big change this year. We have three daughters, my wife and I, and our last one got married this year. So all three are married. So that was a wonderful thing. And we are actually empty nesters. And we've been empty nesters, and then we weren't, and then we were, and then we weren't. I think it's going to stick this time. So that's a good thing. And then a significant change, my mom passed away this year. And that is, I remember saying, a little sad and a lot happy. My mom knew the Lord. She's a wonderful woman. And the biggest thing that I think we will miss or have missed is probably her prayers, because she was a praying person. But I know that she is rejoicing with God. And I have complete peace there. So those are some of the changes. I'm not going to go into detail on the challenges, mostly because it's really personal and I don't want to share stuff up here. If any of you have questions, I'd probably share more in person. But work has been incredibly hard this year. Just huge, huge changes, lots of instability, lots of uncertainty, changes in roles, and just really just stuff that keeps you guessing and uncertain all the time. And our family, we've had challenges in our family the last few years. But changes and challenges, that's how I would characterize 2019. But the good part of this year has been that, and this has been a journey over the last few years, but it's been much more intense this year, has been digging deeper into honest relationships with God, honest relationship with myself, and trying to really go deeper and have honest relationships with other people that God created. And a part of that is this book called Journey with Jesus. And Pastor John led us through that. Let's see, David, you did it. Rick did it. Was it just kind of the three of us that finished it, I think? Yeah. And I say journey. This is like almost, 9 months, I think? It's a long thing. And it's really deep. And I've never experienced anything quite like this. But if I could characterize it, it's really that rich, honest experience with Jesus. And, you know, as Christians, certainly in the Western world, it's easy for us to be religious. I don't have a better word. But we come and we go to church every week, and we know we're supposed to read our Bible, and we know we're supposed to pray, and we check the box, or more often than not, we feel guilty because we don't check the box. And yet, if I have a relationship with another human being, it's going to be more rich than that, right? I mean, it's not just like the guy that sits next to me at work. Hey, Bob, how's it going? Yep, good to see you. And yet, sometimes I feel like a lot of our relationships with God are sort of that way. You know, Sunday morning, hey, God, nice to see you, you know. And if we're really on target, then maybe we do that a few times a week. Hey, God, I'm here. I'm reading your word. Okay, I'm praying. Okay, I've prayed. Okay, I'm done now. Thanks. And, you know, I think a lot of people mean well when we end up that way. And our world certainly doesn't encourage that in our culture today. We are a social media culture, so even our human relationships are kind of paper thin. You know, we text each other instead of having a conversation often, or message each other on Facebook instead of sitting down face to face. So that this year has been me really trying to dig in and explore this idea of a relationship with God, God the Creator. And if you just think about that, like step back for a second, act like you didn't know about Christmas and everything, imagine the absurdity of a human being say, I'm going to have a relationship with the God of the universe. Just think about that, because we throw that around so easily. God, the Creator, the one who spoke and it all came to be, and I, little Scott, am going to have a relationship with him? But yes, that is the message of the Bible and the gospel. And that's amazing. And so I have been trying to mine the depths and explore that this year. And a part of that has been learning to really be honest. And, you know, this is not just a biblical religious thing. I know a lot of people outside of church that are on a similar journey trying to, you know, really explore themselves and work through it. And I think that's a good thing. It's easy in our fast-paced culture to just kind of turn your emotions off and just become a machine and go, go, go. That's not how God designed us. At least I don't believe that. So God, the Creator of humans, the designer of humans, the imaginer of humans and emotions and feelings and all of that, that's the God that I have set out to get to know this year. A big part of that I've shared a few times has been journaling. This book has been great. And then just the stuff that I talked about, checking the boxes, yeah, reading the Bible, praying a lot, but really leaning in and not just checking the box, saying, I'm really going to try and sit and be in your presence, God. And a big part of this is learning to listen to God and other people more and to talk less. And to get to that point of trying to be comfortable just sitting in God's presence, not praying, just sitting. It's hard. If you haven't done it, it's hard. And even if you have done it, it's hard. It's hard to turn your brain off and just press pause and kind of say, Lord, I'm just going to sit and try to listen to you for a few minutes. And maybe I would read some scripture or something. But it's been an amazing thing. Now, I would tell you that the last few weeks have not been a high point in my life. And yet, my foundation is firm. God is there. And I actually view this as part of the whole experience. You know, as humans, We ebb and flow. We have good days and bad days and good seasons and bad seasons. And some mornings you wake up and you're like, yeah! And other mornings you don't want to wake up. You just want to stay in bed. And as a human in human relationships, it's that way, right? Some days our friends and our spouses and the people that we care about, oh man, we love them so much. And other days we're like, I do not want to talk to that person. I don't feel that way about you very often, but... gesturing to my wife. But, you know, I think our relationship with God is going to be the same way. We have good days. We have bad days. I get angry at God. I get sad with God. He's big enough to handle it, I think. So that's what I would share with you, and I would encourage you to dig in 2020. Be honest and real in your own life. Be honest and real with yourself. And that can be a scary journey sometimes. Be honest and cultivate that real relationship with God and with other people. Dig into God, dig into His Word, dig into praying. But don't just, now I lay me down to sleep. Don't just pray like that. Wrestle with God. Tell Him how you feel when you're frustrated, when you're discouraged. Feel free to share that with Him. Seek Him. And then, I would ask a couple of questions. When life is hard, will you seek God? When your world completely blows up, is He your foundation? Where do you go for help when things all go south? Do you go to yourself? Oh no, I have to save this. Do you go to a parent or a spouse or a friend? I need you to rescue me. Because they can't, and you can't. Only God can. So where is your foundation? And then the last thing, and this probably is one of the hardest ones for me, when life is great, where do you go? Because when life is good, I kind of tend to go to me. And I'm celebrating, and life is good, and oh yeah, God, I kind of forgot to talk to you today. But those are times when you can celebrate with the Lord, when you can thank Him, when you can be grateful, and whatever. So that's probably one of the weirdest testimonies you've ever heard. I don't know. It's honest, and I hope that there's some encouragement in there somewhere, and I would encourage you to dig deep in 2020 with God. And I think we're actually going to sing one song, and then we're going to have a couple more of these. And by the way, Michelle Hunt was supposed to share this morning too, but she is sick, so I'm sure she'd appreciate your prayers. So we're going to sing In Christ Alone. And you can stand, you can sit, whatever you would like to do. Thank you.
seated. And Charles, I think you're next.
Well, last night I was thinking about, what am I going to say? God is doing a lot of things. I don't know everything he's doing. I don't even know everything he's doing in my life. There are a lot of surprises. He opens doors. He closes doors. And so sometimes you ask for the wisdom to know when he's opened the door so you can go through it, and the wisdom to know when he's closed the door so you don't try to go through a door that's closed. If you ever try to go through a door that's closed, it can be a very painful experience. But he's done some wonderful things. I've done a lot of thinking this year about the past. I think about my grandmother in Fort Worth. And she died when I was 18, so that was a long time ago when she passed away. We used to have discussions about the Bible, about the Garden of Gethsemane, about Adam and Eve. I can remember those discussions with her. And when I was in high school, there was a point in my life where I thought, well, you know, maybe we die and that's it. We're just gone. And I remember going to a baseball game at OU, University of Oklahoma. I don't remember who won that game. Must not have been that important. But they got beat bad yesterday, incidentally, by LSU. But I remember thinking, you know, you just live your life and then it's probably over with. But my grandmother, she had a Bible. And I somehow or another inherited that Bible when she died. The Good News for Modern Man Bible. The one with little stick pictures in it. Have you ever seen that one? Good News for Modern Man. And my freshman year of college, somehow or another, that ended up at the dormitory with me. I had no intention of reading it, but I picked it up and I started reading it and I couldn't put it down. I just kept reading. There was a hunger to read that Bible, and I just kept reading it and reading it, and it became more and more real to me. My senior year of college, Gideon came by. Do you know anything about the Gideons? They put Bibles in hotels and hospitals and prisons, and Gideon said, will you accept Jesus? And I said, yes. He gave me a little green Bible, and I put my name in it and put the date. And years later, I became a Gideon. And it was a great blessing to be able to distribute Bibles at schools. And I could tell you many a story about that. But after I accepted Christ, you know, you've got these claims by churches. We're the only true church. We're the only true church. And I remember for a long time praying, God, what church do you want me to join? And you know what finally came to me as an answer? Just follow my son, Jesus Christ. Just follow my son. And I can't tell you how much time I spent praying on that. Well, many things have happened. I'm not going to bore you with all the things that have happened over the years, but I'm here now. I believe at this church we have a minister that faithfully proclaims the Word of God. He seeks to do that, has a great love for Christ. And I see good energy, good things happening here. The children's activities, the educational program, the prayer groups that have started, the rescue mission ministry, Ruth's Kitchen, the cross is going up. I actually got to see measurement on that one, I think. I think, Grover, is that the one you were measuring when I came by that day? And then out there doing work on it. Just amazing, the crosses. And just... tremendous things, the Christmas program and the puppets. I can still see that puppet singing. But it was glorifying Christ. And that's kind of the lens I look through. Does it glorify Christ? And throughout the year, spent a lot of time at the prison. We've been going down there going on 10 years now. And yesterday we were talking about addiction at the prison. We're talking about what keeps us in addiction. One is fear of withdrawal. It can be a very painful thing to withdraw from an addiction. And the other is denial. We had about 25 women in our service yesterday at the prison, and we talked about how we tend to lie. And you know the person we lie to maybe the most? Ourself. Have you ever lied to yourself? A tremendous obstacle to giving everything over to the Lord. And we talked about a need for a good shepherd. And we looked at Matthew 9, verse 25, I believe. And how Jesus, after he had healed so many people and cast out demons, he looked at the people and he felt great compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Do you know what happens to a sheep without a shepherd? They're in big trouble. Sheep can't defend itself. They can't defend themselves from a wolf or from a lion or from a bear. If the weather is bad, they don't know where to go for shelter. They need a shepherd, and we're that way. Now, I started thinking, why so much about addiction? And we're going to start doing some recovery meetings here at this church in February, and I invite you to participate in that. To welcome people, maybe to help do a little hospitality, at least at the early meetings. But I think, Lord, why have we come to this point on recovery meetings? And I think about 10 years ago, the Lord was planting seeds. I spent about a year working with people going through detox downtown, many of them homeless people, coming in off the streets. Stories that would just break your heart, breaks my heart to think about them. And I can't tell you how many times I would leave detox praying for people. I remember one woman came in. She was a heroin addict. And she came in to detox. It was late at night, about 11 o'clock. And it was a cold winter night. And detox is located in a rough neighborhood. She was there for a little while, and then she said, I'm going to leave. And I said, well, where are you going to go if you leave? And she said, I don't know. I don't have anywhere to go. I said, well, it's cold, and it's dark out there in a rough neighborhood. Why don't you just get a good night's sleep, get up, get something to eat in the morning, and then you can go wherever you need to go. Doesn't that make more sense? And she said, well, I guess. A few minutes later, she said, I'm going to leave. And I said, well, does that make any sense? I said, you don't have anywhere to go tonight, and it's cold out there. And she said, well, mister, don't you know I'm not supposed to make sense? I'm an addict. Lives are being destroyed by addiction. At the prison, 80 to 85% of the people in prison have had an addiction problem with alcohol or substance, some sort of substance abuse, meth, heroin, cocaine. But it's not just at the prison. It's all throughout the community. So many people, lives are being destroyed. And I'll tell you what I saw when I was at detox. I never saw a demon where you just physically see it. But I sensed the presence of demonic forces trying to capture the souls of people, trying to destroy the souls of people, and using drugs and alcohol to do it. And I would leave there with a strong sense that there's a spiritual battle taking place between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And you know, at that detox center, they wouldn't let you talk about Jesus because they got money from the government. You know, the government always has strings, don't they? But sometimes people would use God's name in vain, or they would talk about Jesus and use some really terrible words in connection with his name. And I said, well, they're talking about him, so I can't. And they brought it up. And I would take the conversation in a different direction. I said, you know, he loves you. You know, he wants what's best for you. He doesn't want to see you under this slavery to this drug or alcohol, whatever it might be. He wants to see you reunited with your family. He wants to see good things happen for you. And I'd leave there praying for people. And then I end up going to Colorado. I did some ministry in Colorado. But I knew I was coming back to Salt Lake City. And I said, God, I want to work with people who are going through addiction. I noticed at detox, many of the people were brought there by parole officers. You got a choice. You can go to detox or go back to prison. And I said, Lord, I want to work with people who are going through struggles like this. But I didn't know how it would happen. And I found an organization that does prison ministry, and we connected with it, and we've been going down to the prison for about 10 years now, and we're doing some recovery work at the prison. But we're going to be doing it here as well. Starts on the 4th of February, and we're going to be using the Bible, the Serenity, 12-Step Companion, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. There are 12 steps in AA. And in this Bible, there's seven meditations for each of the 12 steps. 7 times 12 is 84. And New Testament based. You know, there is a cycle of addiction. And Jesus wants to break these cycles. There's pain. Most of the people, the source of the addiction, the root cause of it is tremendous pain. Maybe it happened when a person was very young. And then to alleviate the pain, a person goes to the addiction substance or whatever the addiction may be. It might be workaholic. Could be. That's listed as one of the addictions. And then a person has a numbing of the pain, but some people die with their addictions. And then after that, there's negative consequences. And then a person feels low self-esteem, shame, and then they go back to the addiction. It's a vicious cycle, but Jesus breaks these type of cycles. He breaks these type of cycles. There's no more powerful breaking of these type of cycles than Jesus. But Jesus uses us humans. You know, he said, you're going to do greater things than I've ever done. And I used to wonder about that, but I think he meant, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit when I go back, and there's going to be many of you filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be doing greater things than I've done. And he calls us to minister to those who are forgotten, those who are suffering from addictions. And so we're going to be doing, and I praise God for that. And that's something that he's doing. That's a testimony of what he's doing. And we must never forget, I must never forget, and we've been teaching some prison fellowship classes down at the prison, and they help me remember, God, you're in control, I'm not. God, you are in control, I'm not. Can't tell you how many times during the week I'll be in the car, this little problem will pop up, this little problem will pop up. God, you're in control, I'm not. Show me what you want me to do, but you're in control, I'm not. So, have you ever seen that bumper sticker where it says, God is my co-pilot? Well, someone said, if God's your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. Remember hearing that? I want to look at something that we talk about quite a bit down at the prison. It's a living out of a prayer called the Prayer of St. Francis, probably not actually written by him. Probably maybe 100 years ago this prayer was written. But it reflects Franciscan thought. But there's a realization that we cannot live this prayer out in our own strength. If we try to, it's just mechanical. The heart's not changed. It has to be with a life submitted to Christ. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Do you want to be an instrument of Christ's peace in this world? Have you seen a need anywhere this week for the need for the peace of Jesus Christ? You're called to be his ambassadors. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. You know, hatred can seem so strong, so terribly strong, but love is more powerful than hatred. It overcomes. For a little while, hatred can seem just insurmountable. I think of, I'm into history, I love history. I think about Nazi Germany, 1937 in Nazi Germany. It would have seemed like the hatred could not be defeated, yet love overcomes. Where there is injury, pardon. Have you seen any injury this week? It doesn't have to be physical injury. It can be emotional injury. But the forgiveness that God gives us the strength to have. There's a story of Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you will remember Corrie Ten Boom. And are reading about her. Maybe you didn't know her. But she was a prisoner in a terrible Nazi prison camp during World War II. And at the end of the war, she confronted, as I recall, the man who had betrayed them. They'd been hiding Jewish people, and they got sent to the camp for this. And her sister died in this prison camp. And this man was asking for forgiveness. And Corrie said, I can't forgive him. She said, he's done horrible things to me and my friend. I can't. And a voice spoke to her. It wasn't an audible voice, but a spiritual voice. It was God's Spirit speaking to hers. I know you can't, but Christ in you can. It's He that gives us the power. Where there is discord, union. Tremendous discord. You know, even as Christians, we can be very selfish. Or am I the only one that's that way? And when we're selfish, there's discord. But when we turn things over to Christ, union comes. And where there is doubt, faith. Where there is doubt, faith. Have you ever been in a time of doubt? And what do? I've learned, and God has shown me this, and it's been a blessing. When your faith is a little bit weak, you go to Him and say, Lord, my faith is weak. This is that honesty that we're talking about, Scott was talking about. Give me some more faith. And He'll give it to you. I've had to go to Him many times and say, Lord, give me some more faith. And where there is despair, hope. There's nothing sadder than a person in deep despair. Have you seen any despair this week? Maybe you've felt a little despair. You, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, have the greatest hope in the world. You can, Christ in you, and I'm not putting you down, it's not you, but it's Christ in you to bring hope to those who are in despair. And where there is darkness, light. The light of Christ will overcome the darkness. There's a lot of darkness in this world. But the light of Christ. And where does that light shine? It shines in you when you're walking with the Holy Spirit, when you've given your life to Christ. You overcome the darkness that's in this world. And this has been a blessing. And I've seen God do it. I've seen Him do it down at the prison this year. And I've seen Him do it here. And I pray that He's doing it in my life. I believe He is. And where there is sadness, joy. You can't live this life very long without experiencing some sadness. I don't know of anyone who doesn't experience some sadness, but St. Paul says that we can have joy even in the midst of our sadness. And I've experienced deep sadness, but joy because Christ is there. And that's a blessing. That's a testimony to what He's doing right now. This next part of the prayer overwhelms me. I feel like I've been hit on the chin by Mike Tyson. It is that overwhelming. Wouldn't want to get hit on the chin by Mike Tyson. Even at his age now. And he's been not boxing for a long time, but it would hurt. This part of the prayer says, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. Now, I don't know about you. When I'm hurting, I want to be comforted. But to want to comfort others more than to be comforted, that's Christ-like. That's not a natural love. It's a love given to us by Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis writes about the four loves, one of his classic works. I won't get into all the Greek words, but the highest love is agape love. It's God love. It just loves. It doesn't love because, it just loves. And then the next part of the prayer says, "Oh, Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be understood as to understand." Well, my natural inclination is to say, I'll understand you when you understand me. But to want to understand more than to be understood, that's Christ-like. That's the love of Jesus Christ. And I just want to give a testimony that that is what He's wanting to do in all of our lives right now. And then this last part of this section of the prayer, "Oh, Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be loved as to love." We all want to be loved, don't we? But to want to love more than to be loved, that's Christ-like. That's Jesus Christ at work. That's not natural in us. That's Christ at work in us. Then the paradox part of the prayer, "For it is in giving that we receive." The world would say that is foolish, wouldn't it? But I tell you what, one of the greatest things that can happen is when someone looks at you and they see Christ and they say, that person's a fool for Christ. And they can even criticize you and ridicule you because you don't have the wisdom of the world. "For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in forgiving that we see healing take place. And that it is in, and then it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." Paradoxes. Realization that all this is, this prayer is a mechanical exercise. It can be exercised like the Pharisees exercise their righteousness if Jesus Christ is not at work in our hearts. And so what the Lord has shown me this year and maybe in previous years, and maybe I learned slowly, but turn everything over to Him. And let Him do the work of what He's wanting to do, what God our Father is wanting. He's wanting to conform us into the very likeness of Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? If Bill Gates came in here today and offered you all the money he had, it wouldn't even begin to compare to that. To be made into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that's my testimony.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you, Scott, Charles, for sharing with us this morning. I'll be quick. I'll be sharing what the Lord's done in my life and our lives as a married couple. But let me start off by reading a psalm, Psalm 9. And it says, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High." I like this couple verses. That's Psalm 9, 1 and 2. Because I see David, the one writing this psalm, making that decision. I will give thanks. And that's what we're doing this morning as a testimony. We're giving thanks to the Lord. We're sharing what the Lord's been doing, what He's done in our lives in the last year or even more. And, you know, it says, "I will tell of your wonderful deeds." Even when probably it's not a good year, or even when we're in the middle of problems or anything, God is with us. In my personal life, 2019 has been a pretty good year, I think. My wife and I celebrated our 7th anniversary in March. Last month, it was our 93rd month anniversary. So we don't celebrate every month, but you know, we were been encouraged to just at least remember our month anniversaries by some people. And so it was our 93rd month anniversary. So it was great. It's been great. I don't know how she keeps up with me, but or how she deals with me, but it's been great. Also, we've seen God's provision through her work, through my work, new opportunities at work. It's been great. It's been busy. It's been crazy. But overall, we've seen God's provision through that. And we recognize everything that we have, it's from Him. We've been blessed by new friendships, by friends, by family. We've been so blessed in the last year. And as I look back 2019, I've seen God's mercy. I've seen God's love in our lives. I've seen His provision, His direction, His guidance. And speaking of guidance, you know, 2019, I got the opportunity to, they asked me if I wanted to be part of the elders. I don't know what I was thinking back then when I said yes. No, it's been great. Seriously, it's been time for me to learn, to be able to come together with Pastor John, Rick, Dennis, and pray for all of you guys, for all of us, for our church. You know, we get together and we pray for our church, see what the Lord wants us to do next. You know, different ministries. We have next year, we know we have the recovery ministry, Matt and Heidi starting a new ministry. So it's been great. God's been doing a lot of good things here at Discovery. And, you know, it's been great to come along, Pastor John and the elders, to be able to pray for all of us here. Also, in March, my wife and I were just talking about, you know, us as a married couple, what ministry we were going to do. We had the opportunity to either do a Spanish ministry or maybe a youth ministry. And we were praying, asking for God's guidance. And I'm not going to tell you the story how it happened, but if you want to know, I will tell you in person. But we felt God leading us to youth ministry, which, you know, I don't think we've done youth ministry before. And it was, for me, a step of faith, knowing that, you know, I couldn't do it by myself if God wasn't with us. And so we decided to do youth ministry. So throughout the summer, we had different activities. We went Topgolf, which is great. It's fun. I love it. I'm not good at it, but I love it. We went to the lake. We went on a Sunday after church. We took the kids, and we went to the lake. We had a barbecue and burgers and hot dogs. And we also went to the canyon. We went to, it was a Friday evening. We went, we did a bonfire, and we had burgers, and we had a good time. But then in September, we started our Bible study. We meet every second and fourth Sunday. After worship, we go to our class, and it's been great getting to know the kids. And what I like is that we get together, we get in a circle, and we talk about our week. You know, what we've done, what's going on in our lives. But we open our Bibles. And that's the most important thing, to open our Bibles. And sometimes when they don't bring their Bibles, then we have Bibles over there, and we open the Bibles, and we talk about the verses we're going through. We've been through Philemon. And now we're going through 1 John, and we're going verse by verse, and we talk and discuss, and it's awesome to hear, you know, the kids talk back to us and share what, you know, what they think, and it's been great. And also, apart from that, I've been able to be a part of a group of guys. It's four of us that we try to get together once or twice a month, and it's been good. I love it. Especially one time it was crazy at work and I was stressful, and it was a time for us to meet. And as one of probably leading the group, you know, I was like, well, I have to be there because, you know, we said that we're going to meet and we're going to meet. So we met, and there was a burden in my heart, and I shared with the guys about it, and it was cool to hear each and everyone pray for me. And that's what we do when we meet with the guys. We get together and we share and we pray for each other. We encourage each other. And, you know, I would encourage you, if you don't have a group of friends of you know, that find people to you know, that can encourage you, and you can share your problems, and they will pray for you. And that's my encouragement for you guys today. And through all of that, I've seen God's hand in my life, in our lives. All of this that I've shared with you guys about, you know, stepping out in faith, I wouldn't be able to do it without Him, without God. I felt His strength, I felt His guidance in my life, and that's what I want to kind of share with you guys this morning, to step out in faith. Maybe the Lord's guiding you to a new ministry. Maybe you start a new ministry or be a part of a ministry, children's ministry, or maybe join us in the youth. Maybe. You know, it'll be great. And, or, you know, usher, greeter, security. We have different ministries going on here at church. And maybe this is the year to look forward and be a part of that. And I just wanted to be, to encourage you guys to do that. So with that, we're going to pray. We're going to ask the worship team to come up, and we'll close our service. And again, all of this, it was just to share with you guys what the Lord's done in our lives and to encourage you to, you know, seek the Lord, to have faith in Him, and to trust Him in, you know, the next step, what He's showing you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for, Lord, 2019. All of us maybe have had different years. But Lord, in all of that, we see Your hand in our lives. We see Your provision. Lord, we see Your guidance. And Lord, we know that as we look back, that You've been with us all this time. Lord, help us to remember that as we go forward. Maybe when the tribulation comes or when our problems come, Lord, help us to remember that You've been with us and that You will be with us. Lord, You give us the strength to continue. And Lord, thank You that we can share this morning a little bit of what You've done in our lives. Again, Lord, we pray for Michelle as she was supposed to share this morning, but she is sick at home. Pray that You would heal her, Lord, that she would receive that gift of healing, Lord. Pray for our pastor and his family as he is on vacation, Lord, resting. I pray that he will come back, Lord, and recharge, and Lord, just ready to continue with Your ministry. Thank You for him and his family, Lord, and we look to You in this upcoming year, 2020. Lord, help us to be faithful to You in everything that we do and everything that we say. And again, Lord, thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your love. Lord, we can't do anything without You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.